Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast Party Time. I am joined here, like I am each and every week, with my awesome co-host, Garrett. Garrett, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Rebecca?
Doing good, thank you. I feel like hopefully our busyness and stress from last week is finally, hopefully, starting to go away. I don't know about you.
No.
It's kind of on and off for me. I know it might not be for you yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Elena's off tonight, but instead we have here, we have a guest who was previously on the Nintendo Shack some time ago who is joining us again tonight. Everybody, welcome Michael Kazuwara. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing?
Doing all right. I'm doing okay. Yeah, okay, so I mentioned this before, but there's like an NFT story, and tried to research it before this, and like I just cannot wrap my head around that, so I'm kind of, I'm bummed out.
You know, we'll talk about it, we'll get there, we'll talk about our thoughts on it. We wanted to have you on the show specifically today because one of the games in your favorite series recently released last week.
Yes.
Mario Party. So we will be talking all about that. We'll be talking about our impressions, answering listener questions about the series and about the game, and kind of hearing from the Mario Party expert, as I call him, because he said, you know, I heard you guys are going to be talking about Mario Party on the show this week, and I really want to come on and talk about it because I love Mario Party. I played all the games. I know everything about it. So he is the Mario Party expert.
So we have a trivia lineup for you and everything. It's going to be a huge challenge episode.
Yeah, like I'm an expert in that type of way. Like I just know just a disgusting amount of Mario Party facts. But like to be an expert at Mario Party just sounds so silly. It's kind of true.
More like luck than anything, right?
I think we'll get into that because it's kind of like.
Okay.
All right.
So
very excited. Well, lately, before we get into what we've been playing lately, let's thank our live on air producers. Thank you to our patrons. Garrett, do you want to thank them?
Yes. Thank you, Evan Callow, AJ Pentecost, Chris M, Devin Tyus, Horsegirl69, Joe Wilson, Josh Peroni, Kyle Heyman, Nick Creature, Paul Calicote, RJ Kern, Stephen Keller, Zach Adams, Trucker Sloth, and Michael Taylor. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Trying to behave myself with our guest here tonight. Not laugh at certain names.
That makes sense.
Garrett, what have you been up to in your still so busy life?
Yes, really quick before we get into the major hits, the major title that is Mario Party. I played a demo this week, and I wanted to play it for quite some time. It is a game that's out on Switch and PS4, I think, maybe on PC. From Square Enix, and it's a very small game. It's like a $30 game or whatever, out of the blue, and it was actually in a Nintendo Direct. It's called Voice of Cards, The Isle Dragon Roars, which I feel like, same thing as previous Square Enix titles, it's a random name generator. Let's put them all together and see if it makes sense. Yes, let's go with that. So, Voice of Cards, it is an RPG, a role-playing game, but instead of the typical 3D or 2D graphics that you see, it's all in cards. Everything is in cards. So your beginning party, your three players are card form, all the characters are cards, the terrain is cards, like nothing's like a graphic or art piece or whatever. It's all cards. And so when I'm going through this game, it's like, oh, this is gonna be a cool card game, but it's not really a card game. When I think of a card game, I think of like Monster Train. I think of Slay the Spire or something like that.
Right.
There's no random element to this game. It is a typical turn-based RPG that you would like Pokemon.
I feel like I didn't get that impression because I remember seeing it in the direct and thought, this looks like a Garrett game. This looks like it's mixing, you know, the card game element with the RPG element. Like, what better game for Garrett? But that's kind of a shame that because it's not like that. I got that impression that it was.
The only really things they touch up on with like cards, they have card games in there. They're just mini games that you play throughout. And it's really not that fun. They're super easy. And in the battle system, what happens is that in every turn that you do, you add a gem to your turn. So sometimes you accumulate gems over time in the battle. And then you have certain attacks or skills that require gems to attack the enemies. But all in all, your cards show you exactly what your attack and defense and your health points are. You can calculate exactly how much damage you're going to do to the monsters. And that's pretty much it. And you just go through a typical RPG story. I'm just like, this is the most vanilla story. Like it's worse than like Dragon Quest to me. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I did not realize it was going to happen. But I feel like the art style of it's really cool. I like the take of it. It's meant to be just a small type of RPG. It's like, let's try this art style and let's try to see if that is creative or not. So in the like movement or whatever, you're like a little chess piece, like a board game piece that you actually go card to card. And each time you move your piece, you're revealing more cards in front of you to figure out if it's a road or like a forest or a mountain, something like that, or something's blocking you. All the NPCs and characters, they're all cards. And then the voice acting is actually pretty good. They actually encourage you to put sound on in the beginning of the game. And, like, you can go through the narration. Hmm. And it's actually pretty good from that end. But as an RPG fan, I'm like, I'm not wasting my time right now with this game. I'm not going to spend $30 now. Yeah. But maybe if I have time and there's a sale later, $20, $15, I think it's a good get. And there's a demo out there. Try it out. See how you like it. But like, there's so many other better RPGs that are about to come out that I was like, probably don't get this now. Maybe wait till later. So, well, there you go. Thank you for my spiel.
It's good that they put out a demo so that you could see that, though, and kind of make that educated guess. And maybe that doesn't go in their favor. Maybe it's not selling you on it after all. But
right. But. And Gerald Nate says, I thought it was a deck builder. I thought it was, too. Yeah. It is totally not. It is characters. You're building up levels. You're getting skills. But nothing about the gameplay is card game at all.
They didn't advertise that well in the direct, I don't think.
No, they did not. So,
all right,
there you go.
What about you, Michael? What have you been playing lately that has excited you?
So beyond Mario Party, I did finish Metroid Dread, which no shock to anyone is excellent.
And yes,
if you like Metroid, you should absolutely play it. If you haven't tried Metroid, I think you should absolutely try it here. This is a great place to jump in. Story wise, like, you can play any of them. It matters, but it like. To start here, you'll be totally fine.
I agree.
I'm one of the people that liked Samus Returns a lot. And
that's a good
this
one.
Game does a lot of the... So Samus Returns added a bunch of features, like melee and a lot of like the smooth animations and all that, I think started in Samus Returns. And Dread just took that and made it even better. So for me, it's... I'm not as like amazed as some other people. Like, this is not my top Metroid game ever. I think that just has to do a lot with Samus Returns having already taken so much of my love. So especially if you haven't played Samus Returns, I think this is a great, great one to jump into.
We were talking a lot about how Samus Returns kind of prepares you for some of those mechanics in Dread. Yeah. I didn't finish Samus Returns yet, but I played about half of it before Dread came out, and I'm so glad that I did, because you're right, it really prepared me for that melee combat, a lot of that, like you said, that smooth, fluid movements that you first see in that game.
And one of the things I really love about Samus Returns is the way that they implement the story. You don't really get cutscenes. Apparently I'm talking about the 3DS game now from 4 years back, but you don't really get cutscenes or anything like that. You just play the game with your mission, kill all the Metroids, whatever. And then as you 100% different room or areas, you unlock these slideshow art pictures, and those detail the stores. It's one of those things where you get 10 pictures detailing depicting the events of what happened before you got here. And like, that stuff is so cool. I love that so much. And it directly relates to what you do in Dread. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Dread's great. Play that. Beyond that, I'm playing Bug Fables, which is not a new game.
Oh, cool.
But if you are a Paper Mario fan, a Paper Mario 64 and Thousand Year Door fan, I think you should absolutely check this out. It's very much inspired by those games, and in many ways, I think it's better in terms of the battle system. There's a lot more variety. You have three party members. There's a whole turn relay system, different buffs and, you know, nerfs, whatever you call them.
Right.
That make it a lot more interesting. And it's funny. So if you like
I've
those
heard
games, Bug Fables.
People describe Bug Fables as the best Paper Mario for the Switch.
Hmm. Well.
Arguably. Yeah, that's probably
Origami King is also very good, but in a different way.
Okay.
Are you playing on Switch or on Xbox? Because I know it's on Game Pass.
I'm playing on PlayStation.
Oh,
because
okay.
I want the Platinum totally Trophy.
Really no, weird. That totally makes I understand that completely. I don't know why Nintendo doesn't have achievements. You made the right call of getting that Platinum Trophy. Cool.
Awesome. Is that it that you've been playing besides we'll get to all the Mario Party stuff?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, oh my gosh, I have been playing. I've actually had some time for gaming this past week as opposed to the week before where I had like no time at all. But I've been jumping around a lot of stuff. So I picked a couple things just to kind of talk about before we get into the Mario Party goodness. For Halloween, I kind of went out of my comfort zone a little bit and I downloaded Fatal Frame Made in a Black Water. That's the Wii U port that came out. And I heard a lot of people describing it as like, I think the draw for me of like part of I wanted to check it out and see what it's all about is kind of that photography element to it and taking pictures of the ghosts. And I'm not super far into it yet. I think I'm like two or three chapters in. So I have to finish it, but it kind of reminds me of a mix between Pokemon Snap and Luigi's Mansion, because you're using that that camera flash style. Like you're taking pictures of these ghosts, but that's the method of defeating them, kind of like the vacuum is in Luigi's Mansion. The characters are super creepy. I'm still trying to figure out like everything that's going on with the story and whatnot. It's kind of a little bit of at a slower pace, like a slow to start kind of pace. So I feel like it hasn't totally hooked me yet. But I do like the mechanics a lot. You know, the controls are very easy to learn and everything. Like I feel like having no background at all going into this, I kind of like it so far. And I know Donnie is really into this game. He said Fatal Frame was one that he really liked. I don't know. There have been a couple other Fatal Frame games and I've never played any of them, but I wanted to try it for Halloween. And I think, you know, once things, you know, slow down a little bit with all the games that are coming out, I'll play it here and there, and I want to try to finish it. I like trying new games every once in a while.
That sounds good. I've seen actually some gameplay of this. Is it like basically you put up the camera and you take a picture of the ghost and they're blinded of some kind?
Kind of, yeah. So there's a few ways to do it, but like the most, if you can like manage to take it perfectly framed the right way, like you can unleash what's called a fatal frame and take like a bunch of snapshots out of it at once, and like it basically defeats the ghost in a way.
Nice.
Like,
you can defeat a ghost with a camera.
Pretty much. That's like what I've taken from it so far. but yes, it's out of my comfort zone, but I like that. So
good.
The other thing that I jumped back into, I talked a little bit last week how I've been preparing my Animal Crossing Island for the new update. We'll talk about this a little bit more after we talk about Mario Party, because there is some news involved here. The update released a little bit early. It was supposed to release on Friday, but the update just came out. So I've been diving into that. I am like knee deep into it. Like there's so much content here, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more when we get into the news segment. But oh my gosh, this has pulled me back into the game so much. I'm super excited to revisit this.
Bianca's back into it too.
Hours and hours back into it.
Yeah, she's completely hooked now. And I was like, well, DLC is coming out tomorrow. It's like, well, there goes the gaming time there.
Yeah, so I'll talk about more of what I've been doing in that game when we get to the news update for it, because I will kind of talk more in depth, because it didn't, they have added some other stuff that isn't in, that they didn't have in that Animal Crossing Direct, so we'll get into it a little bit more.
Sounds good.
But then other than that, all I've been playing really is Mario Party Superstars. And let me preface this by saying this is my first Mario Party game since Mario Party 4 on the GameCube. And I think that my only Mario Party game. So I feel I'm revisiting this, you know, this game from my childhood. And there's so many things about it that are similar. There's some things about it that are different, but... Mm-hmm. I've really been enjoying my time, but I'm going to kick it off to Michael here to talk about, you know, his impressions with it and kind of summarizing, you know, what you like about the game and, you know, everything that a Mario Party expert has to say about it.
The expert over here.
I will not laugh when I hear Mario Party expert.
That's what you are now. That's what I'm calling you. That's your title.
It's sad because it's true, but...
So you've been playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing it. It's been a week now. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's cool. Just the things us hardcore Mario Party fans have gone through the last...
Of course. The past 15 years or something.
It actually has been about 15 years since the last time we had a Mario Party just like this, with the classic gameplay style where you're running around the board, collecting coins, buying stars for... 20 coins, whatever, that whole thing. Super Mario Party did it a little bit, but it was still very different. Much smaller board. You had the whole ally system. Dice blocks were different. This is, 100 returning minigames, 5 classic boards, beautifully remastered, music, so good.
See,
so
he knows his stuff. He knows how many minigames are in it, how many...
Actually, 105. But
I feel... I feel like this is a good Mario Party game for people like me to jump back into, because this feels like what I remember Mario Party 4 being.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because I feel like I had forgotten so much of that game, but as soon as I started playing Superstars, I'm like, oh my god, like, I remember doing stuff like this. I remember all of these mechanics. I remember a lot of these mini games. I remember now, I did play a little bit of Mario Party 10 when it came out. And I hated it. And I feel like that was probably like a common theme for people. So I didn't realize it had been that long since there was a good Mario Party game, though.
And each of them since... So the last one would be, I would say, DS, that had this style in 2007 or something.
I remember getting that one, too.
Yeah, so
that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was great. And it's been that long. And the ones that have come out since, I think there have been like... 6 or 7 since then, they all have their own things that are good about them, but they were never as a whole package like that classic Mario Party feel where you had great multiplayer. All the mini games were always great, but there's always something weird about like the board mechanic or whatever. Now we went back to what we knew worked, and it's working. I think a lot of people are enjoying it. A lot of people are feeling the same way you are, Rebecca, where you're just, you're returning to Mario Party 4, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all very exciting. And it's all online. Everyone has been wanting
the big
online
part.
For so long. And it works well, and it's for everything.
It
and
works well. Oh,
yes,
okay, that's
surprising.
I've had very good experiences, too, with it. And I feel like I felt that way when Super Mario Party came out. I was like, we're in 2020, you know, whatever year it came out, 2019, whatever it was. It's like, why is there not online for this? Like, that seems so perfect. And I think part of why I didn't really keep up with Mario Party after 4, I'm an only child. I don't have any siblings. So I feel like the game that I did have, I mostly played it by myself. Sometimes, obviously, when friends were over and whatnot. But I don't know. It feels like it's a family game. It feels like it's a party game. And I just didn't have a lot of people to play with. So now that they've added online to Superstars, I've been having a blast. I've been playing with some friends online. And like you said, Michael, the connection has been really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there was like maybe one instance where somebody got booted, you know, and it was kind of their own internet's fault. And we were able to leave the game, invite them back in, and we were still at our same spots. Like, it saved the game so that we could keep continuing it. Like, it didn't make a start over or anything like that. Minimal lag, but I think there were parts where it was like that person's fault. It was their own internet. So we were able to fix it when that did happen. The mini games are one of my favorite parts, and they brought back a lot of my favorites from Mario Party 4, and I like that now. I don't know if this has been a thing in recent Mario Party games, but the fact that you can kind of practice on the directions screen, is that new, or has that been a thing?
They started that in Super Mario Party, which was a great feature, and naturally they brought it back. It's so good. And well, that's what's so great about this one, too. Oh, not to jump into something different.
No, go for it.
The speed of this game is nice and quick. With Super Mario Party, they added cool like animations, characters reacting, but it would take forever to get through one turn. Someone buys a star, you're guaranteed waiting a minute and a half for the game to just progress after it moves. Here, everything just zip, zip. You can speed up the dialogue. You can speed up the speed of the characters. Everything has been cut down so it's not wasting your time. And this minigame instruction screen is basically that. You don't have to do any extra practicing. You just do it right in this title screen. It's really, really
good. Yeah, it's really good. The other thing that I really, really like about it is because I love the minigames so much, I feel like I arguably even like that more than the actual board part of the game.
It's fair.
Is that they're all unlocked from the start. I don't have to like play through all the boards to unlock all of these minigames to play. And the online portion where you can challenge other people online and see how high of a streak that you can get. And that moves pretty quickly, too. You can just go from minigame to minigame and try to, you know, climb the leaderboards here of winning as many games in a row as you can. So I've played that a couple times so far, but I feel like that's a good mode for when I don't have people to play with. Maybe everybody's busy. Nobody has time to play like a full board.
Yeah.
You can kind of jump into that and really just challenge people with the mini games, and you can pause and it keeps your streak, and then you can jump back in whenever you want. So that's one of my favorite modes. One other thing that I want to say that I really like, and then I'll let you keep going, is the little emotes, the sticker emotes.
Yeah.
They remind me so much of the emotes that you would do in Triforce Heroes in the Zelda 3DS game. And it is just so funny to like spam them when like somebody messes up or lands on a wrong tile or gets a star. And oh my gosh, it's just hysterical sometimes.
You can use them so ironically too. Congrats.
Yeah.
I did not expect to like that feature. We've known about it since the game was announced. I just kind of like, whatever. But it's great to use against random people and with people there too. People that you're talking to on Discord or whatever. Because I assume this uses some Nintendo voice app thing. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to that at all.
Maybe.
But
I think you can use the Switch Online app for it, but nobody does.
I'd love to see the statistics on that. Who uses this? Anyway. Yeah, it's great to use against people you're in the same room with. And it's so easy to, I assume, so easy to just make more. Keep releasing them. Give us little updates. Add 10 more. Why not? They're great. They're better than the taunt system from before, where you would press a button and it would make your character scream or whatever.
Yeah, that's not as fun.
Yeah, not as fun.
Is it pretty safe to say that you think we'll get boards and characters and stuff added over time?
No, I don't think it's safe to say that at all.
Ooh, okay.
Right.
I
don't know. I've just been going about like how they've been doing that for like golf and tennis, and they've been doing that for like Pokemon Snap even got new content.
Yeah. I think this will all go down to the just the developer. This is NDCube. They've been making the Mario Party games since basically DS, since that change. They are not known to do any kind of update or DLC, anything. The only thing I could think of is that the thing randomly this year where Super Mario Party got online 2 years after.
Yeah.
which clearly was because of this game. They added it here. I guess they decided, why not add it here too?
Right.
So they're not known for that. That things like golf and tennis, who I believe is Camelot,
That's true.
Camelot, yeah.
They have the same update structure, basically, with the releasing of characters and stages or courts or golf fields. Yeah. What do you call them?
Course, is it a course?
Courses. Okay. I think Donnie's screaming right now.
Donnie's like, what is happening?
But they're known for that. And the ND Cube is not. So I will be pleasantly shocked if there more. I think the opportunity is now for them to start adding updates. I mean, online was never a thing for any of these games ever, and now it is. So it's
true.
It's possible. But I'm not too hopeful.
That's disappointing because I feel like with only five boards, I feel like I'm going to get tired of them pretty quickly, and I'm going to be itching for something new. And I mean, if they're already using old boards anyway, it's not like they have to come up with new ideas. Just like make them in this style. I know that's easier said than done, but game development's easy, guys.
I think it's a lot more accessible to develop a newer content than ever before. So maybe Nintendo encourages them. But yeah, I can understand them. Hey, this is a great game. You don't really need to put more in there. You don't need to put more effort, I guess, in there in order to boost your sales or more attachment or whatever. Yeah. So,
right. We have some questions about it. Oh, were you going to go?
I have a quick fire question, guys. Yeah. Top three mini games. Go.
Book Squirm is number one.
Book Squirm. Okay.
They're so mad.
It's the only one that matters.
Okay, never mind. Okay, your favorite one, Michael. How about that?
Probably Bumper Balls. A lot of people don't like that one, but
I like that one a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. That brings me nostalgia memories. These minigames, when I see them on video, I remember the one that's like you move Mario or Bowser's face.
Oh, facelift. And like
Yeah, facelift. That's it. Oh my gosh. I remember I thought I had it so correctly. It's like, no, you're so off. I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember doing that as a kid. Man, I plan to pick this up sometime. Just I can't right now. I don't have time.
I can see this going on sale at some point. Maybe like
yeah.
I don't know about this year for Black Friday, but I could see you getting a good deal on it at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
But we do have some questions related to, I keep wanting to call it Super Mario Party Superstars, but it's not. It's Mario Party Superstar. Sniper D. Luffy wants to know, how many friendships have been ended so far due to this game? I have yelled at the people that I've been playing with.
Oh, no.
Nice.
But no friendships ended just
That's
yet.
A good start.
None for me. I haven't lost any friendships. And honestly, I know it's a big joke, but I haven't actually lost any friendships over the last 20 plus years. I will say that, like,
wow.
I've had, like, so I had siblings and we had the older games, and that's why I've come to love this series so much. I can't imagine playing this one by myself. So I had my brothers, and if you're playing with your brothers, things get chaotic and things start getting thrown. And, you know, I remember control sticks being broken and running over and hitting the reset button. You know, that's all happened. But nothing, no friendships have been broken. I will say I have a group of friends from, I don't think I mentioned this, but I run a Mario Party website, right? And I have so
See,
for the last
he's an expert.
Decade.
He even what? Runs a website. Like, the perfect person for this.
This guy's a professional. Oh my gosh.
Mario Party professional. Whoa, watch out. But no, I've had that website and I've met many people who also love the series through there. And I have this group of just me and two other friends. And for the last like 8 years, we've been playing games together all the time. At least once a week, we play some kind of online game together. A lot of the time that was Mario Party over Netflix, right? Not official. But there was a period of maybe 2 to 3 years where we stopped playing Mario Party because every time we played, things got so heightened and so tense.
Oh, wow.
It just had to stop. And I think Superstars is bringing that back. We've already played 2 times. Nobody has gotten mad. No one's yelled at each other yet.
Good. So it's bringing people together. Plug your website. I didn't know that you had a Mario Party website.
Yeah, because I don't really work on it too much. I only work on it when a new release happens. So that's what I've been doing recently. It's Mario Party Legacy. There's a website. There's a YouTube. Cool. And I've been working on a Twitter. It's been my pet project. I've been posting a tweet every single day, and it's actually been growing exponentially. I'm so proud of it.
There you go, everybody. Nice. Follow. It's at Mario Party Legacy.
No, that's too big. I think it's at MPL Network. MPL.
Okay. We'll put it in the show notes for people to follow and the website for you guys to check out, where you can see all the Mario Party goodness brought to you by Michael. Cody wants to know if you've played Mario Party Superstars yet. We have. How many times have you wanted to pull out your own hair? I didn't know, and I don't know if this was in Mario Party 4 or if I was just forgetting, but the stars that you end up with at the end, it's not over yet. They award some more stars based on, like, totally trivial things, like who stepped on the most red tiles and who got the most coins. And so I was, like, gonna win, and I didn't win because there were more stars added. So that made me want to pull my hair out just a little tiny bit.
It completely flips over at the end. They, like, add 3 stars to one character.
Yeah, there's,
like,
nothing,
minus 2 to another.
There's nothing you can do about it.
So that's one of the nice things about Superstars, is that for the first time since probably DS again, they let you turn off bonus stars. You don't have to have those on. Before you start a game, you can just click off. There's also the option to play with classic bonus stars. So in Mario Party 1 through 6, it was always the 3 same bonus stars. Whoever won the most minigames, whoever had the most coins at any point, and whoever landed on the most event spaces. So you can set it to those, or you can do the random ones where, like, you landed on Bowser 2 times.
Totally trivial things that you can't anticipate or control. Well, that's, like, good. I didn't know that you could turn it off, but, I mean, it makes it totally fun with it on, like... But that's good to know.
Yeah, and I think in terms of, I haven't had any pull my hair out moments yet, and that's mostly because this is all content that I've seen before, so
it's,
I know,
because
what
I'm really good
into
at the game, and I'm
well, no, it's just I know which ones I suck at. So, like,
there you go.
Castaways, the one where you try to reel in treasure chests or whatever, like, I'm terrible at that. I already know that. There's no hair pulling. I already did that, you know, 20 years ago. Same thing with Slot Car Derby or Piranha's Pursuit. Mm-hmm. That I never win at that one. There's no chance. So I just know.
You just know. That's fair. Do you remember any hair pulling moments from when you played, Garrett?
Oh, there was plenty. I've had friends over and sleepovers and everything, and we would get pretty mad over Mario Party. I played, what was it, Mario Party 3? That was on Nintendo 64, right? Yeah, there we go. That's correct. It is the best one. I pulled my hair over more on Overcooked. That game, that I feel like that one's a little bit more tense, and you gotta, like, it's more like other people's fault, whereas Mario Party is like, oh, someone wins, someone loses, but in Overcooked,
a lot,
like,
of it comes down to luck. Yeah,
you did something wrong. Why did you do it wrong?
People get vicious.
People get vicious there. So, yeah,
that's funny. Adam wants to know, what additional characters do you think will be DLC for Mario Party Superstars? So, if we do have it, he says, I hope they add Diddy Kong. So, let's say if they are adding DLC characters, who would you want them to add?
All the Fire Emblem characters. Let's go. This is going to be Fire Emblem Mario
Nintendo Party
Edition. Nintendo Party.
You are asking for trouble with Fire Emblem characters.
We could put all 800 of them in there from the mobile game, the hit mobile game.
Fire Nothing Emblem can Heroes. Go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong. All the character art is, like, preserved. It'll be nice.
Do you have any most wanted characters, Michael?
Yeah, if I had to pick 2 of them, I'd probably say Diddy Kong and then Dry Bones. Mm-hmm. You guys remember Dry Bones?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my character.
Of course I remember Dry Bones.
And mostly those two because I already did my detective work, and I looked at the almost 30 characters that have been playable throughout the whole series, and most of them can't be playable anymore because they have some kind of role in this game already. There's really only... So there's Diddy Kong, Dry Bones, and then, like, random characters like Pom Pom from the last game. Don't think that person would be playable. So those two.
Pom Pom. I remember playing as Toadette in Mario Party. It was 11. I guess Toadette's part of the game now.
Yeah, she's the one that gives out the stars and everything. So would have been a great character. Or Toad.
What about Pauline. Does she have a role? I would like her to be playable.
No, Pauline's not playable. It's just, I don't know why I expect that not to happen. Maybe it's just too soon.
Like, it, I don't think it, time. I mean, I don't know. I really like Pauline.
I like Pauline, her. But I never think of her until you just said it. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that's a character that
I like her new. Way better than Peach or Daisy or Rosalina. Mm-hmm. I like Pauline. She's,
I totally
great.
Get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who good. I would want. Kyle the Pug says, did you know that you can softlock yourself in Dizzy Dancing? Is that one of the minigames? He wants to know how many other minigame softlocks are possible. I don't know what he means by softlock. Do you know what he's referring to?
I actually know what this is. I've seen it happen. So there's a minigame where, you may have played it, where everyone starts on a... Oh no, words! What are they? What is the thing called? The spinning disc. Oh, this is so bad.
Oh, is it like the spin top type of thing?
No, or music. I don't know. Record...
A record player?
Oh, record player.
Okay.
Yes.
So everyone starts on that. It spins and you have to kind of navigate.
I remember playing that.
Yeah, so that one's bad.
Oh, I don't think I played this one.
And basically, when the minigame ends, there's a certain point where your characters could be positioned off the actual disc.
Right.
If a character is like bouncing on another character...
I remember this one, yes.
But if a character is bouncing on another character off the disc when the minigame ends, it'll kind of do that forever. It doesn't do it forever. They stop, but then the characters can't get back onto the disc where like their winning animation is. So the characters will forever keep walking into the disc, and then you have to either turn your game off or, well, that's all you can do. So it kind of sucks that made it in. Nintendo's usually really good about not having any soft locks like that.
Yeah.
So it's bad. I hope they fix it.
They'll probably patch that. I feel like they've been pretty good about patching things like that pretty quickly. Wasn't there something for Dread? I think that there was a glitch at the end of the game with the door, and they patched that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they will. Do you know of any others that are like that? Probably not. I feel like that's such a...
No, I haven't run into any.
Very, very, very...
Hope it's
like, obscure thing. Yeah. Soundscape wants to know, what are some Mario Party tips to play more competitively? I know we always think about Mario Party as being very luck-based, but he wants to know, what are your best tips to get good competitively? Let's start there. He has a second question.
Okay. Be ruthless.
Be ruthless.
Don't be friendly, okay? You're there to win. You're there to get the most stars. So I say, just be greedy. Just be greedy as you can get. Don't try to play diplomacy or friendliness or whatever. You're there to win. That's my suggestion.
Just ask for forgiveness. Right, forgiveness later.
Exactly. After the game.
Yeah, I think. So I mentioned somewhere that there is a balance of luck and skill that is involved in these games. It's not all luck. It's very much part of it, but not all of it. And I think that has a lot to do with the just strategizing your moves and having the right items. And I think the biggest tip is just thinking ahead. Always think what you'll be doing in two turns ahead. And not just what you'll be doing, but look at other people. And what are they doing? Where are they going? This person looks like he's going to boo. I don't think so. I'm either going to get something to protect myself, which actually doesn't exist in this game. Or...
Oh, that sucks.
Or whatever. I have a little example. I was playing on stream with a couple of people, and there's a moment where I was in first place. No, that's not right. It was Horrorland. Okay. I was in second place. Somebody else was in first place. Forget the example, because it's way too complicated. What you need to know is that always think not just how do I become first place, how do I get the next star, it's should I get the star now? Should I wait for this person to become first so somebody else can steal from them before they steal from me?
Ooh.
Like that kind of...
That's like like, honestly, 4D chess. Like, I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm just like, get the star whenever I can. Like, just win all the mini games.
Best not to immediately use your golden pipe. Let somebody else stay in first, and they'll get all the heat from other players for a while. Then you can become first. Or don't steal from someone now because they might come and get you later because of what you did. It's, you just got to think ahead. It's basically
it. Always
good
ahead,
tips.
Yes.
Very good
like
tips.
Like chess. That's pretty cool.
I like that. I like that a lot. He also wants to know, Soundscape asked, what game modes from previous games would be a good addition to Superstars?
Yeah, I guess I'll go.
I don't know any.
There was...
I don't know any either. Sorry.
In Mario Party 9, they had a cool one. It was called Perspective Mode, where they took, like, 10 mini-games, and they completely changed the camera. Like, put it in this corner, or put it way down instead of top-down. And you had to try playing those mini-games in this weird, alternate view. And it made some of those mini-games really challenging. And I just always thought that was a neat little thing. There's also Dual Mode from Mario Party 3, where you played on these separate, smaller boards, and you got to have these partners, these companions that would protect you and fight other players as you pass them. So you would have a heart with 5 points to it. And you would run around this map trying to run into each other with these partners. And one would have like 3 attack, and one would have a couple of defense. And it was an interesting way to play. There's also River Survival from Super Mario Party. And this is one of the reasons why, if someone were to ask, hey, do I get Super Mario Party or Super Mario Party or Mario Party Superstars?
See, you did it too!
So bad. The name is stop with that.
Why did they stop with the numbers? The numbers was such a good system.
I don't the number. I don't know. It's Nintendo. They had all the Mario Kart games, then suddenly it's 7 and 8. So I don't know what's going on. But it's hard for me to say either one is good or the other, right? Because they both have different strengths. One for Super Mario Party is stuff like River Survival. It's that mini game, or it's that mode where you have the Joy-Cons and you're actually like paddling the boat down the river, and you're playing mini games to add time, and it's a whole co-op thing, right? There's really nothing like that in Superstars, and I think it adds a different level of accessibility for people who don't really know Mario Party or don't really play video games. I remember, I think like 2 Thanksgivings ago, I had all of my immediate family come over for Thanksgiving, and then we had like a family come over. So we had this big group, and my parents they don't play video games. They don't care for them. They might even despise them a little bit. We got them to play because, you know, they're all happy. It's Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, let's play some video games. Okay, you know. And you pull out Super Mario Party and you have them play River Survival. And they just have a blast. They're cracking up. Mm-hmm. They can't contain their laughter. They have no idea what's going on, but it's working. They're having fun. That, I don't think you'll get that with Superstars. I think it's just a little too, I don't want to say complex, but it's a little more involved. You need to be more.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty important for Mario Party to be that kind of game where people who aren't normally into games can easily pick it up and play it. You know, as to make it an actual party game rather than a video game. It's a good point.
Yeah, so that.
Yeah, I am, again, the knowledge. I'm impressed. I didn't even know until he asked this question that there were other modes in Mario Party games.
He's an expert. He's a super.
I'm so glad I could put this knowledge to use in at least one way.
At least once.
I have my own question to wrap up this Mario Party chat is, why is it whenever I roll the triple dice, I always get it to roll on 1, 2, or 3 for all 3 of the dice? Is it just my bad luck?
No.
It's like I wasted that.
Gods.
Yeah,
they're not smiling upon you.
Always seems to work out that way.
And then your friend rolls and it's like, oh, you got 27
10,
total.
10. Yeah, exactly. All right, anything else you want to say about your Mario Party Superstar impressions before we get into this week in Nintendo?
It's a great game. if you liked Old Mario Party, you'll love this one. Play online. It's fun.
Yeah, I would definitely say the online, it's worth it in this game. And I feel like if you've had bad experiences with other Switch games online, this one feels very different.
Can you play with randos?
Yes.
Or is it just...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like, is it a lobby system or...
If they drop out... So I think you get matched with people, right? And then if they drop out of it, then it's replaced with like an NPC.
Yeah, so yeah, that's correct. I actually haven't played with random people. I've always played with people I didn't really know, but at least like we went through a friend system.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the random matchmaking actually works, but I don't think it's all that different. So yeah, I think that's the very important point, where if someone drops out, they just become a CPU. So you're good.
That's very nice. I'm glad they finally solved that.
Yes.
So you can just go online and just play whenever you want. And like, I don't need friends around. I just, you know,
who needs friends? Into it.
Who needs friends, you know?
And don't knock the mini game mode. Try it out where you're climbing the wasn't it like tower? You're climbing a tower or whatever they called it to try to get the highest streak that you can. Really enjoy that mode.
Nice.
Yeah. So cool. With that, let's get into this week in Nintendo, the latest and greatest news about Nintendo Switch games. Like I said earlier, the Animal Crossing New Horizons version 2.0 free update released early. So it was supposed to release tonight, like going into Friday the 5th in Japan. It released one day early. The data mine, of course, people went in and they looked at everything that the update has to offer. They found over 9,000 new items are added to the game, which includes variations of all of the items. They found that every old NPC is back. If you scan their amiibo card through Footopia, they're all back in some capacity, that you can see them in the game. They're all programmed in there now. People who are wanting to jump into the game and find Brewster and go to the roost right away might be a little bit disappointed, because there's actually a whole quest line that you have to fulfill in order to get Brewster. It takes more than one day. There's a couple requirements for that. So you have to make sure that you've donated at least one thing from every category of the museums, like a fossil, a piece of art, a sea creature, a fish, a bug. Donate at least one of those. Then Blathers will say, I have this old friend, you know, I'm really thinking about expanding the museum. He gives you Brewster's photo. And then you have to, like, go on a mystery island, try to find Brewster, invite him onto the island, the museum has to be renovated. So there's kind of a whole storyline in there too, before you can actually enjoy Brewster and the roost. But I've been looking through all of these items, you know, that have been added. There's some really good stuff. I think they really put a lot of love into this game. I'm really excited about it. I feel like this has sparked my interest in the game again. And the DLC hasn't even hit yet. The DLC is still coming tomorrow, and I'm going to be diving into that as well. So I'll give my impressions of that next week. But
so the DLC right before we recorded it, it went live.
Oh my god!
It's kind of like, you know, maybe we should reschedule.
It has been going live. It's been rolling out. So I think Australia got it like earlier in the day, and I think it's been hitting at like 9 or 10 o'clock or whatever time. Okay. I guess 9 o'clock.
Maybe
right?
That's what I saw. Yeah. It's not out.
Yeah. So people have been playing it, and oh my gosh, this update! I feel like if you want to have a reason to get back into the game, it feels like it's a brand new game again with just everything that they've added. You know, I barely scratched the surface, and I was playing pretty much all night last night. I was playing when I got home from work today. It's some good stuff. I'm really enjoying my time with it so far. But are either of you jumping back into Animal Crossing for this?
Oh, yeah, Animal Crossing's not in my possession.
I know Fiona is.
so she showed me a couple of new items that she placed on her island. It looks pretty dope. It's a little gazebo and a little tiki bar kind of thing. And she's like, oh, look, this is where we're going to put our vegetables, and we're going to grow our vegetables.
The cooking is genius. Yeah. You can get the vegetable seeds, grow the vegetables, and the food items actually look so delicious. Like, I'm really excited to make these recipes and cook and everything. Yep. So,
So, and she's excited. There's a lot. She's like, this is the most friends I've seen on Animal Crossing, like like since the beginning. So I'm like, so yeah, totally putting a revival in the Animal Crossing community, which is super cool.
Yeah, you love to see it. What about you, Michael? Are you getting back into Animal Crossing?
Yes, and I already did last night as well.
Yes. What do you think of the update so far?
In typical Animal Crossing fashion, I can't really do everything. It's a lot of come back tomorrow to see it updated and all that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm most excited for like these really obscure, not very obscure, they're important, these small updates. So the biggest thing I'm excited for is the storage shed.
That's actually a big game changer.
Exactly, yeah.
It is. You can access all of the items in your house anywhere you want, pretty much, because you can put all of your items into the storage shed. It's basically you're carrying your house around in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So you can like place it wherever you want, get out whatever you need, and then just keep carrying the storage shed somewhere. There's some good quality of life changes here as well.
For me, the biggest thing is I need to clean up my just dumpster of an island. There's just trash everywhere, flower infestation here and there. I have a whole beach of I guess FYI to anyone that's listening, I have a whole beach of what are they called, DIY recipes that I've just been saving since the game started. If you want, come and get them, because I need to do something with them.
Fun fact, you couldn't store those in your house before the update, but now you can. So they used to litter your beach because you couldn't do anything with them. Now you can actually put them in, put them away
like that. Now I can just bring the storage shed, throw them in. It's stuff like that that I'm or like the little ladders that you can place on cliffs. I hate pulling out the ladder.
That is super cool.
I'm just excited to see what people create, because there's people that will create like these huge, amazing islands and just really extend their creativity and like stuff that I'll never be able to create or do or have the time or creativity to make these things. So I like to see people's screenshots. I like to look on YouTube and see kind of island tours of what people are creating. And I just think there's so many cool new items here that people are going to go wild with this. So... excited.
Nice.
Yeah. We got some more data. Nintendo has now sold a total of 92.87 million Switch consoles to date. This data came out. 8.3 million units were sold within the past 6 months. This ended on September 30th. This does not even include OLED sales. So whatever they ended up selling in October with the OLED doesn't even include that. They have increased their profits compared to last year by a small margin, though the Switch sales forecast has been cut due to global chip shortages. They're predicting that they'll make 20% fewer over the next fiscal year. I think we've talked about this before. We've talked about these chip shortages and how it might affect, you know, their console production. More specific in terms of game sales, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has now beaten Mario Kart Wii in terms of sales numbers, and it still remains the top selling game on Switch. I think there's no surprise there. We knew that that was probably going to happen at some point. And then we also have an updated sales figure for Animal Crossing New Horizons has sold 34.85 million copies. Huge number. I bring this up because Yarden is repeating the question that I asked PSVG last night, and I didn't get a chance to listen to the PSVG show last night to hear their answer to this, but I'm going to repeat the question that he wanted us to answer. Is Nintendo making a mistake with ending content updates for Animal Crossing New Horizons after the first huge update and DLC pack? Why wouldn't they want to put out more updates and more paid DLC content to the 30 million players who already own this game? What do you think?
Yeah, this is a interesting question. I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, why did they only put one huge update and not have like a huge response and see what's the next one? You know, when they say last content and update or whatever,
it's the
I'm
last
just like
major content update.
Yeah, and I'm like, are you really saying that? Like, you could say that, but I don't know. I don't know what to believe from Nintendo these days.
How many times did they say last Splatfest?
Like five too many, or something like that. And they still keep going until like this year, right? And then Splatoon 3 is just around the corner. No, I with Animal Crossing, I just think they've had a different mindset in there, and they didn't really anticipate all this, I don't know, like community fluff up and like this update support or whatever. I think they were, well, COVID too. So COVID kind of put a big hamper in their development. So I'll say that too. But it didn't really look like from the start that Animal Crossing was going to have major live updates throughout and throughout. That it did not compute in their heads that they were going to do that.
Right.
So I
think New Leaf only got one major update throughout its life, and it right? came years later.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe Nintendo's not like wanting to do that as much. Maybe they don't want to allocate as much resources
because
they want to make other games. I don't know.
My thought is, well, yeah, there's only so many free updates that they can put out. But my thought is that they're bringing people back into the game with this free major update, and a lot of those people are going to buy the DLC because of it. So yes. If they do another, you know, like a 3.0 update down the road, a 4.0 update where they add, you know, a free part of the update paired with maybe another $20-$25 DLC, is that not something they want in the hands of 30 million players? I don't know. What do you think, right. Michael?
I think Nintendo overall is just, they should be wildly surprised with the number of people they already have. So I don't think they're really thinking how much an update will affect newcomers. I think they've gathered as many newcomers as they can, and now mm-hmm. it's really just about getting the people you already have to get the DLC. And I think if you already own the game and you hear about DLC, then I don't think an update is going to change that. So I do actually believe True. When they say this is the last major content update, I do actually believe that. I mean, I'm sure they'll still be like, here's one new item, but you're not going to get like the two dogs, the police dogs. They're not going to just show up.
Oh, anymore,
which is
yeah.
sad. But,
right.
That's
yeah.
true. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I think it's a missed opportunity. Maybe they weren't planning on it, Garrett, but it would, I don't know. I think it would be silly for them not to. But
yep, I agree with you. I hope they put out more DLCs. It's like, we're finding a lot more success with this. They'll see the sales of DLC and go from there. And they're, you know, with this Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, as well, I'm sure that DLC drew in a lot of people
yeah.
into that big price point, that big price jump.
Good point.
I want to shout out Ring Fit Adventure. It is in the list on this website, on Nintendo's website, and it is right behind Splatoon 2. Like,
ooh,
oh my goodness.
I didn't notice it's that.
It's like only a few hundred thousand copies below.
That's
it's
a
like
game that will probably get a sequel, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I think it was serendipitous that Nintendo like released this and then COVID happened. So of course everyone's gonna grab this and like that'll be your workout from home. It's a very nice game. I have it. I didn't play too much of it recently, but it's a very solid workout routine, and it's also good entertainment. So good on them.
Yeah,
making that small game, and it's blown up pretty well.
I like to see new IPs get big like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else of note here in their sales figures that you wanted to comment on, either of you?
They're increasing their freaking units on that Switch so much. 93 million.
I think
consoles.
The attach rates are so high. Like how many people own Mario Kart now? With every one? Third?
Yeah,
is that
something
like a third?
Like
a little bit more than a third, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's
a little bit more
wild. And I think a lot of these series are their best-selling games ever. Zelda, this is probably the best-selling Zelda. This is definitely the best-selling.
It is the best-selling Zelda.
Mario Party, same thing. I'm sure Odyssey is the best. I don't know about Odyssey. Probably best-selling main Mario game, maybe.
I don't know about that one, but it's possible. Yeah.
Probably not Pokemon, but probably very close.
Probably So it's interesting to see that they made an estimated 20% fewer next year. I know they mentioned it, but like it's gonna be bad for everyone, not just Nintendo. We'll see how it goes next year. And hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel with that one.
Yeah, I think when we, in a year from now, when we're reading these sales numbers and we see fewer consoles sold and things like that, like, we just got to keep that in mind. I know we keep talking about how we expect eventually the Switch to, if we think it's going to surpass the Wii's total sales numbers, which is like, what, 103 million or something like that? Just to keep this in mind, that even though we're seeing this growth now, those chip shortages are going to slow things down a little bit.
But yeah.
In other news, the Shin Megami Tensei 5 review scores are out. It is doing quite well. It's sitting at an 87 on both Metacritic and OpenCritic. I didn't realize the game comes out the 11th, so they were pretty confident to send out those review copies and lift embargo more than a week before the game comes out.
Right. Yeah, so they Famitsu had a review score like probably a few days ago, so I'm like, okay, reviews are about to come out in a few days. And I've read some of the reviews and I'm like, oh, this is so Shin Megami Tensei. And I think every reviewer playing this game knew it. And of course they're going to give it the good scores that it did. And I think they got a lot of time with this game because people are like, yeah, I played like 50 hours, 60 hours. And I think that's like
a lot to do in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So they probably had it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they probably had it for, is it for quite a while or is it only a week?
It depends on when the publishers decide to send out codes.
That's
true. Sometimes it's a week, it's more.
Mm-hmm. They obviously had this game done for quite some time because they've been showing it so much this year. So they were pretty confident probably to bring in this game. I was like, yeah, this game's done. This game is good. So we're going to get those reviewers out. I love GameSpot's negative comments on this game where it's like, sometimes you just get totally unlucky and you get annihilated. And I'm like, yeah, you do. That's the Shin Megami Tensei style. So I don't know if you guys ever played these games, but they're turn-based games, very similar to Pokemon. It's a monster-catching game. And they are known to be the Dark Souls hard RPG of the JRPGs. Like, you go into a battle, you don't know if you're going to win or not. And you got to put the difficulty down. Like, if you're new to the games, you put it on easy. Even though you're an expert on turn-based games, you put it on easy because these games are not to be messed with. So, but it looks like everything else looks super cool. It's obscure. It's dark. It has a great story. Has a great UI design. It's everything that me and Ryan Turford from the RPG Cave wanted it to be. So, excellent. Very, very excited for this game. I probably still won't have time to play it day one, but I will try a little bit.
The Data Wizard in chat says, if you play this game, there's a 20% chance you'll lose for no reason.
Yes.
That sounds so infuriating.
It's not wrong. It's like, you have to save quite often, and you go into a boss battle, it's like, well, we'll see how it goes, even though I'm maxed out on everything.
All right.
How does this compare to Tokyo Mirage Sessions hashtag Fire Emblem? Have you played that
before? Yeah, hashtag FE.
FE, yeah.
So, yeah, it's in the similar vein, for sure. I think Tokyo Mirage Sessions is easier. It's a little bit more friendly, accessible. But the tone of that game, pretty similar. Like, you get the same UI design, same turn-based strategy going on there. But it's slightly darker and more obscure.
Okay.
Where basically every Shin Megami Tensei game's about Tokyo or whatever city being a post-apocalypse, and then there's demons, and you gotta figure out where to get your characters from point A to point B through all of this stuff happening. So it looks fantastic. So can't wait to dive into it.
Exciting. Here's the story that Michael's been eagerly awaiting for us to talk about. Nintendo's lawyers strike again, this time against a Mario NFT gambling game. There's an unofficial game called 1UP that's been using Super Mario assets to promote an NFT-based gambling platform. It planned to let players bet on Battle Royale-style matches to earn NFTs, and no surprise here, Nintendo's already stepped in to put a stop to the project. Maybe the one time that we're kind of glad Nintendo has stepped in to knock down a fan project. For anyone who doesn't know what NFTs are, Garrett, why don't you go ahead and explain that in easy to understand terms?
Well, that's impossible, but I will I will try to make it very conceptually. So NFT stands for non-fungible tokens. And my understanding of it, it's like this digital type of item or trademark. Think of it as a trademark, but it could be like an image. It could be like a video. It could be anything. But you if you have that NFT, you own kind of the copyright to it or something along the lines of that.
It's not even the copyright.
Yeah, I don't know. But basically, these things have been throwing off the market, the digital market, like crazy these past couple of years. I understand mining can be involved with it as well, but I haven't really like researched that enough. But I've seen like sports games, like basketball games, have these NFTs, and then they're selling these NFTs, like the image or something, for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like,
I think it's seen as like this investment, and it's seen as like this big next trend that's going to be exciting, and like people are trying to get it into gaming and whatnot, and it's...
And we're refusing it. We're like, oh, absolutely not.
Like, what does that mean? You said like there's an image that... Like, what was that actually?
That's you know, example. Like a JPEG on your computer?
Sure, but like... I'm just trying to like... Do you have an example of this, just a real life example?
Anything. It could be the Nintendo Shack logo could be an NFT.
But like, why would anyone try to sell or buy?
Well, because you could make money on it someday.
What do you do with it though?
Nothing. You own it.
You do absolutely nothing with it.
But you don't own it because Donnie Rees owns it because he created it. So you're owning something that somebody else already owns.
Okay, the Data Wizard says you're talking about NFTs. More accurately, you own the specific blockchain proof of purchase. Only one person can own it.
The blockchain.
So you're the sole person that owns it. No one else can have it. And so think of it as like your own just personal investment, your own item. It's like people investing in stupid trinkets physically.
Sure, so.
I know we have some listeners who are very into the NFT trading, so I don't want to diss it too much, but it is like seen as an investment type thing. I personally think it's silly and has some negative aspects to it, such as art theft and environmental concerns, because it takes all this energy to produce the blockchains or whatever. I don't know.
What's
going on? If you don't understand this, it makes
that's
sense.
Okay.
That's like you understand it if it doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why. Like, if it's something bad, then I want to also be like, but like I can't do that without
understanding.
Having a baseline knowledge, and I'm just trying to see how this applies to games. So, like, I can get it that like if you're playing. I don't know, like Mario Kart Tour or something, because they have a lot of like you pull a pipe and you might get a character. So you might, with an NFT, you might get a character that only you can own type situation.
Yeah.
And then I just imagine that a game like that, you would have to make thousands and hundreds of thousands of those NFTs. And if you have hundreds and thousands of them that are each slightly different, because they can't all be the same, they're all slightly different, then that just devalues each NFT. And does that mean
you're on it.
I see the smoke going. Yeah, the reason why it's been I would say like a bad public image is it takes a lot of energy to do the data mining to get the blockchain proof. So someone else is crunching the numbers into a computer proving this blockchain, and that takes a ton of energy. It takes like I don't know, like tens of GPUs,
the computing power
max. Yeah, the computing power to purchase this.
The way that it was explained to me is it's basically solving all of these math problems, but it's something that hasn't been solved yet. So you're running all these computers to try to go through all the combinations, and eventually one will hit the correct answer to to get that blockchain, you know, solved. But it's
now we're just...
just computing power, computing power, computing power, and that's what's not so good for the for ecological reasons.
Like, I'm trying to relate.
You're putting so much. It's very energy usage
intensive.
Yeah,
and maybe it's just because like I also it's hard for me to wrap my head around. Like Bitcoin mining and things like that. Like, I don't understand how.
Same
like,
premise.
It's in this.
What do you need?
Very similar vein.
And I try to relate this to like trademarks and copyrights, and you don't need computing power for that. And I know it's not the same thing, but.
Yeah. I'm trying to compare. I think it's very pioneering, like new territory kind of thing. And I think that's why a lot of this hasn't been very well defined yet, because it's brand new territory for everybody, and so we don't know where this is going to go, and apparently it's going into Mario ripoff games. So,
and I'm glad Nintendo stopped it. I think they recognize like that's a big problem. We do not allow that and stopped it, so at least that's good.
Data Wizard's dropping some more knowledge in a chat here. There's some AI systems to generate NFTs, and apparently there's going to be a method that requires even no computing power at all. So again, this is all new stuff. Maybe they're finding ways to like make this more efficient or optimize it. I don't know. It's all brand new territory, but
I have Dogecoin. Well, no, I actually sold it all. So I made quite a bit of money on that one.
There you go. But were you using Super Mario assets to do it?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I didn't have any.
Because Nintendo will strike you down. Me.
Exactly. Or am I Nintendo?
Are you Nintendo? We will never know. Yeah. Our last little bit of news here. There was a small update to Super Mario 3D All-Stars. The N64 controller for Switch Online was added to support Super Mario 64 within that game, and I think that's a little something they didn't have to do. I mean, they're not really selling this game officially anymore. They took it off the market. I think you can still find copies, but cool. So if you want to play with the N64 controller, you can.
I'm glad an intern came back and instead of making or emulating these games and porting them, they put added N64 controller support. I'm glad that intern's a superstar, probably at Nintendo.
There you go. All right, we have a couple other questions to wrap up our time here. G-Man wants to know, we've made it to the updates of the year with the Nintendo 64 Online, Animal Crossing, Happy Home Paradise. And so, what are our thoughts on these? What would have been better for them to do? I know we talked a little bit about the Animal Crossing update. We talked about the N64 update last time and, you know, what we think they could do differently with Switch Online. Is there anything... Mm-hmm. We'll pass that one to Michael. Is there anything that you think they could be doing differently with Switch Online?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to comment too much about the emulation part of it. I haven't experienced any issues, so... Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it if there's something really nitpicky. I don't want to say nitpicky because input lag can be very, even minor, can be very very noticeable. For me, it wasn't. So for me, that's not something I would have to improve. And I don't want to just say, you know, the price, because the price is
wild.
Yeah,
well, we did. We said that.
And I'm on a family plan. Full. I have a new family of 8 people. And
good.
$11 each that we're paying.
Yep.
That's the only reason I have it.
That's the best way to go.
Yeah, I just keep adding more games and I guess I'll be happy.
That's what I'm thinking too. It's just like just put more N64 games over time, and I'm in a family plan too, and just like I'll be happy with that. It's a nice little touch to put the Genesis games in there, although it's probably not that necessary, but it's good for people that haven't really been into that ecosystem. Nintendo put it in there and partnered with Sega with that, so I think that's cool.
Yeah. PD the Smiling Stegosaurus wants to know, since it was just Halloween, what is your favorite scary game that you've played ever?
I don't know about ever, but last year, I think it was last year, I finally played Resident Evil 2, the remake, I've wanted to play for a really long time, but it was way too big of a baby. No way. I didn't even want to play the demo, but I I was asked if I wanted to do the Resident Evil 3 review for the Hollywood Reporter, and I was like, I do, but I don't. And I said yes, so then I went back and played 2 in the same weekend, and I loved it all. It was so, so good. It's such a well-crafted, quality game. Everything about it is very smart and polished, and yes, it does get scary, but it's not the end of the world. It's really not that bad. So if you're scared of it too, I recommend you give the demo a try. But that's also scary, but just give it a try.
Nice. What about you, Garrett? Can you think of any scary games you've played that you've enjoyed?
There's a few games. Of course, I've mentioned PT once before. That's probably by far the scariest experience I will ever have in my entire life. I've done that, and ahoy Adam in the chat, he said Inside, and I was like, I have to agree. Inside, very cool game. I wouldn't say scary like jump scare, but it has this ominous dark tone and a weird twisted ending where I'm like, what is happening with this game? It's very just twisted in that storyline, the very minimal storyline that it has. And then I've also played Evil Within 1. And that one I played it on hard, and that was my mistake because I run out of bullets super quickly and I have to run around with a knife while a crazy maniac spider lady tries to like chew my head off. So yeah, that's kind of scary. So yeah, those were the handful of scary games I played.
So I actually wanted to add on, because you mentioned Inside, there's another game called Little Nightmares, and its sequel
Little Nightmares too.
That's less like jump scare type stuff. It's more, this is just really creepy and it makes me feel uncomfortable. And there are these just giant, disgusting, grotesque human-like. It's just gross and weird. And that's a different kind of scary that I would also recommend.
Definitely.
I don't play a lot of scary games. I like creepy and weird rather than like scary and horror type games. So I don't really know if I played any like super duper scary games. Last year, I played Until Dawn for the first time, and there's some scary parts of that. It's more of kind of like a funny, like making fun of the genre type thing, but there's some gory parts. There's some like jump scares and kind of freaky parts to it. So I really enjoyed that game because I really like the kind of choices matter type games. So I feel like that was a really good one for me. I enjoyed my time with that game. And I feel like that's another game that I would want to play again to like do things differently and try to make sure more people end up alive at the end. And then I also want to give a shout out to Oxenfree, which I'm very sad that I'm not playing Oxenfree 2 right now because it got delayed to next year. But that game's like kind of creepy and like has like some weird like paranormal type things to it. So I'm looking forward to the sequel very, very much.
Nice. So stemming off of Until Dawn there, I forgot what the studio's name, but they've been making a series of games.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
The most recent one this year is actually, I'm hearing from Ryan, the best one out of the whole bunch. Like, they're going back to their roots. They're going back to, like, the Until Dawn type of style. I think it's called House of Ashes or something like that. And it's about the squad going in the Iraq war. And they thought they found this nuclear arsenal, but instead they figured out an ancient tomb. And of course, it's kind of the Until Dawn type of scenario where you make choices and people die or you save them, depending on what you do. So
yeah, I want to check out their other games as well because I've heard that they've been putting out some good stuff. Ante wants to know, why am I so addicted to Pikmin Bloom? I haven't touched that game since we talked about it last week. It sends a notification to my phone every morning with what the weather is going to be like, so it's my weather app now.
There you go.
That's exactly what I think. Oh my gosh. Yeah. First, Mike, why are you addicted? I don't know. Why are you? I don't know what you do in that game.
Are you doing in the game, Ante? Tell us what you're doing that's making you so addicted.
Are you just looking at your little Pikmin and just walking around you?
It's so funny because it's like, I get the notification, you did 3,000 steps today. And that's what it does. That's what the game does.
It still counts it. Even if you're not using it. Yeah. So I guess that's a good, like, in the back of your pocket pedometer type thing. He also wants to know, when will we get Nintendo/EA to get Beetle Adventure Racing, the greatest racing game ever, on Nintendo Switch Online? I'm very glad that you feel this way, Auntie, because that is the greatest racing game of all time. But I'm very sad to tell you that it will never see the light of day for several reasons. Number one, the developer no longer exists. Number two, EA has much bigger fish to fry and will not care about a game from 1999 that, like, didn't sell well. And number three, like, Volkswagen Beetles don't even exist anymore. I'm pretty sure those went out of business and have been discontinued. So, like, the number of licensing issues that they would have to, like, jump through hoops to get this game on a Netflix-like service is not worth it to anybody involved. We will never see this game ever again. I'm very sorry.
And that's okay, because it's just Beetle Adventure Racing,
it's
right?
It's not Rebecca? Just Beetle Adventure Racing. It is the Beetle Adventure Racing.
I still think of just the Beetles, like the bugs. every time you say that.
Because you thought that's what I was talking about the first time.
For the longest time.
Well, that's actually how I think, because I never played this game when I was younger. I was within the last 5 to 10 years, maybe, that I played it. And when you see it on a listing, that's exactly, I thought you'd like ride on giant beetles through the grass or something. Like, that's where my mind went. And no, it's an actual, you know, like the car. And dang, it's a good game, though. It's really
isn't nice. It? Thank you. Thank you for sticking up for this, because so nobody ever believes. Garrett and Elaine do not believe that this is a, like, amazing game.
I'm outnumbered.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I played a little bit of, and people are going to send me hate mail after this one. Maybe it's just because I didn't grow up with it, but I played some Mario Kart 64 on Switch Online, and it's fun, but it's not Beetle Adventure Racing.
Bad emulation. That's all I'm going to say.
No, the emulation was fine. I'm talking about the course inspiration. I'm talking about the controls. Man, Beetle Adventure Racing was there.
Data Kong Racing's the best, but... Yeah.
Maybe that's true, but I'm just saying compared to Kart.
Mario Kart 64. Okay, I'll give you that. I don't have much lenience with Mario Kart 64.
I'm glad Michael agrees with me.
Well, I don't know about the whole Mario Kart thing. Yeah, okay, all right.
Stepping off of that conversation.
But no, I don't think we'll ever see that game will ever see the light of day. I'm sorry. And then finally, Hat Dude wants to know, Mario Party is the ultimate family wrecker video game. Cards Against Humanity is also a friends and family wrecker. If you're playing Cards Against Humanity with your family, that is a cool family. I can imagine that being awkward. That is awkward. He wants to know, would you play Nintendo-themed Cards Against Humanity? A G-rated version, of course. What kind of cards would be in it? And I read this question and I loved it because I would absolutely play this. I think that there's so many fun themes that they could incorporate with this. I think they should do it.
I agree with you. Do it, Nintendo. Do this Cards Against Humanity version of Nintendo. That would be really nice.
They can include all their, you know, their best franchises and kind of funny situations with the characters. And they could even probably, like, slip some, like, euphemisms in there somewhere that, like, it sounds like it's going to be funny for the kids. But, like, maybe, like, Mario's had too many mushrooms type things. Like...
Yeah, totally. No, it just, you can put in, I mean, they have a lot of franchises to pull from, deep cuts. Yeah, they could totally make a game like this.
Yeah.
I would play it.
Would you play it, Michael?
Well, so I'm just trying to remind myself how it all works. You have like two card types. One is a topic and the other is like a verb type situation.
It could be a thing or like a fill in the blank type statement. So yeah, you have your seven cards that have like answers and like you take turns being the judge and you kind of flip the prompt card over and then everybody has to answer the prompt with their cards and then you like the judge picks which one they think is the funniest or like the best.
So what would be like a prompt example? Maybe a Nintendo version prompt.
Yeah. So I guess like a prompt could be like, and Cards Against Humanity is like a dirty game. Like it has some
I'm adult topics. Like, I'm thinking of like a Luigi Mansion's ghost. Like what type of ghost? And like you can put in just like random person, a random Nintendo character, or something
Captain
like that.
Falcon, like Pikmin flower, or whatever.
Yeah,
stuff like
that. Or even things like what's making Luigi too afraid to go into the mansion? And then like you might have other Nintendo themed cards. You might not have Mario cards in front of you. You might have like
the Ocarina of
because
Time.
Pikachu fainted, or like. Because Link couldn't rescue the princess in time, you know, just things like that. Like, and
okay, now we're going through this exercise. I'm understanding a little bit more why this may not work.
Because they wouldn't be funny.
They wouldn't be funny at all. They would just be stupidly
well,
random.
Well, maybe we're just not creative. Maybe there's people out there that could come up with funnier prompts than what I just came up with.
Yeah, but the idea's cool, but in practice, I don't know.
I think what makes it funny is because of the adult themes and humors in Cards Against Humanity. Like, there's a kid version. There's Apples to Apples, which is
the
family-friendly version of it. And, like, it's funny, but it's not Cards Against Humanity funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What does that say about me? But I don't know. Maybe it would be cool. Maybe it would be fun. I would like Nintendo to take risks like that and just.
I would buy that game out of sheer curiosity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And play it with friends.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
All right. That wraps up our questions and our show. Michael, thank you for joining us today and giving us all this Mario Party knowledge and
too much.
Impressions and everything. We're very glad to have you back on the show. Yeah,
thanks for having me on.
It was a good conversation. Do you want to go ahead and plug where people can find you and what else you do over on the internet that people should know about besides your part-time Mario Party expert job?
I would just say, check out my Twitter or my Twitch. I stream 3 times a week, so that's a whole thing. I'm missing a couple of days, but you know, I'm still doing it. And then my Twitter, where you'll see me post any of my work. I sometimes say things every once in a while, so you might see me there. Both of those are under Super Zambazy, that username.
We will put links to Michael's work and his Twitter and stuff in our show notes if you want to find it there. And that wraps things up. We will see you next week, Koopalings.
Bye-bye.